Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Friday evening. We're thrilled to be here. As always, thank you to Frank Motek for, well, doing what you do on the air for so many years, Frank. You're an inspiration, and it's an honor to take over the air studio here at KABC following your program. I am fresh back from a handful of days out of California. Well, not actually out of California. I went to Lake Tahoe, California, Nevada. And it was good to get out. I was just listening to Sharon doing the news. I guess there are 1,000 people stranded in Death Valley. Yeesh. There was some weather up in Tahoe for sure. But I'm back, and I can tell I'm renewed because I'm watching myself before on the air. I'm kind of unfiltered all of a sudden. And I'm not here to offend anybody, but here's a little insight into, I guess, I'm a little more relaxed than I realized. There's a big video in the studio, and there is a program of which will go unnamed. It's one of the local channels, and there's a program on right now. And there was a woman on with a nose ring that was immense. And I said out loud, is there anything more unattractive than a woman with a big nose ring? And I found myself laughing, and here I am on the air sharing it with the world. So, uh-oh, it's going to be one of those shows. We got to be careful tonight. On the program, we hope to get into, well, obviously, we'll talk a little bit about the passing of Vince Scully. As many people have honored him this week, we have some powerful audio we're going to play. Paul Harvey is a man that many years ago graced the airwaves for a long time, one of the most articulate, intelligent commentators that we've ever had. And we dug up one that we want to play for you tonight. And it can be almost applied to this day and age. That's all I'll tell you. I have the top 5 worst foods that could actually shorten your life. And it's, I instantly found myself looking. I have a penchant for certain types of food, and one of them is on the list. And I'll read the ins and outs of researchers, because you take these with a grain of salt, if you will. Story on masks. Disposable masks are now wreaking havoc all around the world in terms of the environment. A commentary that I touched on, I think it was the first program we did, entitled "The World is Suffering from Mass Formation." I'm going to read a lot of that tonight because I've got time. I took a break from the news cycle while I was gone, but I want to start with this. I lived in Lake Tahoe in the winter of 1984 for a good deal of time. If you've ever been to Lake Tahoe, one of the most beautiful, pristine places in the world, people go to Lake Tahoe just to experience the beauty. There are landmarks and places that are well known. If you're a skier, there is a place that I think the 1960 Olympics took place at. You can take kind of a gondola up to the top, and there's bungee jumping, and there's hiking, and it's a beautiful place. Y'all know the name of that place I'm referring to? Now, if you know anything about Tahoe and history, there are some of you that would say, well, you're talking about Squaw Valley. Or the lingo, we're going to go skiing at Squaw this year. And as I was driving to Tahoe, I had the thought, no, there's no way, right? In this day and age of politically correct and we're changing words because they're offensive. Well, Squaw Valley is no more. In fact, I asked someone, one of the roads into Squaw, I asked them if it was open. I said, is, you know, such and such number open? And the person said, Squaw's no more. And my first thought was, did it shut down? What are you talking about? Here is a CNN travel story. So consider the source, right? CNN. This is September 13, 2021. So I'm out of the loop. This happened almost a year ago. Headline, Olympic skiing venue Squaw Valley Resort changes its quote-unquote racist, sexist name. The byline is a woman named Sherry Mossberg. The Squaw Valley Alpine Meadows Ski Resort has announced it will change its name to Palisades Tahoe, effective immediately. Quote, today marks the first day of the next chapter of our resort's storied history. The resort wrote in a message posted to its website and social media accounts. Quote, while the name may be new, the legend and legacy of these valleys continue on, now as Palisades Tahoe, end quote. The Washoe tribe was part of the decision-making process on the new name. By the way, before I read on, if you have any thoughts, any comments, we've got phone numbers to give out. 800-222-5222. Phone lines are wide open, 800-222-KABC. As is usual, you'll talk to Tricia. She's a wonderful woman that you will speak with before you get on the air with me. So if you want to comment on the Squaw Valley story, we're just going to hit it for the next few moments on this one segment only. So if you have thoughts, comments, call now. Don't wait. Don't wait till the segment's over and then call. And, hey, I want to talk about Squaw Valley. We're going to be on to something else. Let me continue with a CNN travel article. Squaw Valley Alpine Meadows Resort will be changing its name after the 2021 spring ski season, acknowledging that the word squaw is considered a, quote, racist and sexist slur, end quote, according to a statement posted on the resort's website. The company decided to drop the derogatory name after outreach to Native American groups, including the local Washoe tribe. When the resort was named in 1949, that's 73 years ago, there was no intent to be derogatory or offensive. The word squaw was introduced by Lewis and Clark in 1805 and used by early fur traders and trappers. This is according to the University of Idaho. In today's social context, and that's a loaded setup right there, in today's social context, man, everything is changing, right? Native Americans understand that the term to be a slur. Quote, with the momentum of recognition and accountability we're seeing around the country, we've reached the conclusion that now is the right time to acknowledge a change needs to happen, said Ron Cohen, president and COO of Squaw Valley Alpine Meadows. Mr. Cohen goes on, while we love our local history and the memories we all associate with this place as it has been named for so long, we are confronted with the overwhelming evidence that the term squaw is considered offensive. Mountain Resort is known for its skiing and snowboarding and provided venues for the 1960 Winter Olympic Games. Quote, as much as we cherish the memories we associate with our resort name, we must accept that these emotional attachments do not justify our continued use of a word that is widely accepted to be a racist and sexist slur, says Ron Cohen. I was born and raised in Cleveland. The baseball team is not even called the Indians anymore. They're called the Guardians. Now, last thought, you may say, what's the big deal? Or you may be upset that I sound so, insensitive. I just think in my mind, when is enough enough? When did we get so concerned with being, sensitive to what other people may feel about life? Now, am I saying we've had it right completely up until now? Of course not. You know, this harkens back to the whole conversation about slavery and what's going on now in the institutes of higher learning, right? That somehow this country was founded, you know, in a racist way, and not that the whole world had slaves or anything like that. But this whole political correctness really bothers me. And you know, Squaw Valley, whatever, it's not a mountain I need to plant my flag in and say, you know, I'm going to fight for this one. But where does it all end? Where does it all stop? It seems like it's like a train just on the tracks, out of control, accelerating at a speed by which you eventually cross over into the brakes don't work anymore. And so I thought I'd share that with you as I begin this program after, you know, 5 days away, was enjoying the 405 freeway coming in from the pristine Lake Tahoe vista to the 405 freeway. How are you? What's on your mind? Phone numbers are always the same for each and every program, 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. When we continue, Paul Harvey, many years ago, I'll set it up, had a commentary in an area by which, well, if you didn't know it, other than the sound sounds a bit outdated, some of the things he says resonates with things that are going on today. And I think it goes hand in hand with what I've just been sharing about language and sensitivity. That and much more. You're welcome every Friday evening to listen to this program. We are grateful to say this is the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. You know, it is, it's like Murphy's Law. The calls are coming in. In fact, I'll take two calls. Todd and Cindy, if you just are joining us, I am just fresh back from Tahoe, and I made mention of, unbeknownst to me, they changed the name of Squaw Valley. And I shared my thoughts and invited you to call the program, 800-222-KABC. Call now. We're going to move on to something else, which I'm going to do in a moment. But we've got some people, and you took the time to call the program. We'll take your call on the air. Let's talk to Todd in Orange County. Todd, you are on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. How you doing?
Todd, I'm well. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I'm just kind of wondering, though, if we tear down all the statues and we rename everything, do these people that are upset about this promise to be happy and live happily ever after?
Oh, of course they will, Todd. This is the end result. If they just get their way over everything, then they'll find their nirvana and will be blissed out and will have no problems.
Won't reach for something new. Won't be extreme in some other way. I remember here in all places, California, they put the vote up for gay marriage, and we voted it down in California. Believe it or not, I don't think people know that.
Prop 8.
Only time I ever went out on a street corner and held a sign, and so everybody voted, and we voted against gay marriage in California. Obama at the time was against it, and son of a gun, they made it legal federally, no matter what, even though, you know, majority doesn't rule.
That's right.
And I remember thinking, okay, now everybody's going to race, you know, all these people are raced to get married. And they'll be happily ever after.
Yeah.
And then we got transgender bathrooms, and we got, you know, the alphabet, the rest of the alphabet, getting flared up and angry. And I'm just thinking, like you said, when's enough enough? I mean, maybe we're just dealing with a bunch of middle childs that are just perpetually miserable and unhappy, or maybe this is politicians that are, you know. Using this.
Well, or both, or maybe more than that. Todd, thank you for your call. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's talk to Cindy in Fountain Valley. Cindy, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on AM 790 KABC. Hello, Cindy.
Hey, Frank. So glad that you are back on the air, and really hoping it turns into more than just one night.
Thank you.
But just real quick, you're welcome. But real quick, One of my favorite philosopher wise men is Dennis Prager, and he often says that the reason the left goes after silly things like the name of Squaw Valley or the Cleveland Indians or Dr. Seuss or Aunt Jemima is because they have no real legitimate issues in this country with racism and sexism. And it's just proof that they have to do petty little things because there's nothing real to complain about.
And it makes one have a sense of self-worth when they feel like they've got a cause that they are righteously upset about.
Yep, and they got to come up with something.
Yeah. Cindy, thank you for the call. Yes, indeed. Cindy dropped Dennis Prager's name in. I texted him the other day. He just had a birthday. And Dennis is the consummate professional. He sent me back a wonderful response. And he is one of our greatest thinkers in this day and age for sure. All right, I said that was it, but Marlene called, so let me take Marlene. I want to be on my best behavior tonight because I just have the sense of, man, I might get into something tonight I may look back on and go, ooh, not sure you should have said that on the air. Marlene and Dana Point. Marlene, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
I just have to mention that I saw Dennis Prager and got a signature copy of his book when he spoke it. I think it was the Regan Center. Anyway,
wonderful.
He's a great person.
He is. Your radio's on. So just share what you called to talk about.
Yeah, my point is, I thought it was supposed to be an honor to name people, like the Cleveland Indians, the Washington Monument. How come every time you name somebody something, it becomes, instead of an honor, it becomes something disgraceful?
Well, that's an interesting thought. Let me spend a moment. Marlene, thank you. Yeah, statues are about honor. And I'm not in the mindset of somehow every single statue that's ever been put up needs to stay up and it was honorable, etc. But my goodness gracious, in the summer of 2020, when the mob took to the streets and started vandalizing and spraying graffiti and tearing down, you know, statues of the forefathers because they're all racist. This is just not only foolishness, but outright stupidity. And just a bunch of I don't know if they here's the part of me that I think I got to watch tonight. Maybe they just didn't get, you know, everything they needed growing up. I'll say that. I went the soft way. I was going to say something differently. All right. Best to move on. Speaking of someone that somehow didn't get enough attention when they were little. There's a viral video of Justin Trudeau landing in Costa Rica. Now, if you know anything about Justin Trudeau, my goodness, you want to talk about a spoiled little brat that has way too much power, should be bounced out of Canada. He's landed in Costa Rica for the holidays, unmasked in a private jet. This is a guy that screams about climate change. This is a guy that shut down his country. You remember the truckers and just horrendous things that he pushed on because he's a little bully. But here he is, unmasked, private jet, landing in Costa Rica. So speaking of that, I want to play this audio clip. Paul Harvey was a national commentator many years ago. And this is a number of decades old, but he warned us a long time ago about the claims of climate change. Give this a listen. This is Paul Harvey.
And with the willing complicity of headline-hungry media, a recent crisis of the month had to do with global warming. An ozone hole is opening up over the United States, we were told. The effects of which were already measurable in an increase in skin cancer. On the contrary, destroying chlorine around the polar vortex has been declining since January. A major objective of a recent shuttle mission was to determine the scope and scale of the so-called ozone hole, and the silence since has been deafening from those whose livelihood depends on creating crises. Recent data from the Upper Atmosphere Research Satellites affirms that any problem is less, it's not greater. Ozone levels fluctuate all of the time, partly because of volcanic activity and solar flares. But MIT's Technology Review has made an exhaustive study of worldwide ocean temperatures since 1851, has concluded that there appears to have been little or no global warming over the past century. In fact, the net rise in world surface temperature during the last century, which was about 1%, almost all occurred before 1940, and that was before aerosols, and that has since been reversed. former NASA chief Robert Jastrow, and former Scripps director William Nirenberg, past president of the American Academy of Sciences Frederick Seitz, all have concluded in a scathing rebuke of those who make money by predicting global warming, quote, if we allow ourselves to be influenced by press release, we could spend $1 trillion over the next decade destroying what's left of the American economy in an utterly unnecessary attempt to repeal the Industrial Revolution.
That's Paul Harvey from many decades ago. He was one of our greatest thinkers, commentator nationally, talking about climate change back then. Now, do I think there's such a thing as global warming? Probably. I happen to think if you look to the history of the ongoing changes on the planet, things come in cycles. But there are people in positions of authority that bang this panic button, this panic drum, that we've only got so much time left. 1989, a man named Brown with the UN released a study, very extensive, saying we had about 10 years or else it's over. The sea levels would rise, the polar ice caps would melt, you know, all of this doom and gloom stuff. And now we're hearing it from the current administration on down. We're seeing this push now to crush the middle class and to shut down things like fossil fuel, attempts to what? Stop global warming? Nonsense. It's not what this is about. This is about greed. This is about power and control. You're going to be here in 10 years and 15 years and 20 years. In fact, as Paul Harvey shared in his report, if you inform yourself, at the very least, you will find great minds that have strong disagreement with so much of what's being put forward as we've got to make these drastic changes or else. KABC are the numbers, 800-222-5222. We survived at least 2 years, speaking of control of COVID. When we get back, I'm going to read a commentary entitled, "The World is Suffering from Mass Formation." This is going to be mind-blowing for many of you and also affirming for many of you. You'll not want to miss that. And you're always, again, welcome to call the program. Phone lines are open each and every week, 800-222-KABC. And we will continue. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. I just got a text. You know, these days, your information, your numbers, I actually thought my cell was private. To get in the building tonight, I called the hotline and Trish picked up and said, "Hi, Frank." And I'm like, "How did you know it was me?" And I guess, you know, whatever. But here's the point. I just got this. "Hi, I'm so-and-so. Saw your yacht last week. I wanted to talk to you about the price. Do you have time now?" I don't have a yacht. But I'm sure that's legitimate, right? There's no scam potentially there at all. Or, you know, when you get the emails. Or like on Instagram. It seems to be, has accelerated recently. Like, I'll just get a follow from somebody, and it's, you know, some woman, and there's her photos, and then I get a private message. "Hey, you have time to talk?" It's like, man, this world, and Trish and I were just talking about this. It just seems like things are accelerating, not necessarily for the better, right? So that being said, on a legitimate note, if you're struggling, we just had, I say 2 years of COVID or the push. If you're struggling, get help. Talk to somebody if you're fighting depression or you're lonely. That's why I'm so thrilled to make mention of Mark Baker, Dr. Mark Baker and Levy Counseling. They're friends of mine. They're sponsors of this program. They do incredible work. And there's no reason for you to be alone. You can reach out to them in two ways. You can go to their website to find out more about them, LaVieCounseling.org. LaVie is L-A-V-I-E, LaVieCounseling.org. Or you can call them directly at 800-483-9591. 800-483-9591, LaVie Counseling Centers. All right, I want to get into this as soon as I can. There is a commentary called "The World is Suffering from Mass Formation," and I want to read it as quick as I can. It will probably take the duration of the segment. But please listen closely. Many of you will probably nod your head at different parts. According to psychiatrist and medical legal expert Dr. Mark McDonald, the true public health crisis is not COVID-19 itself. Rather, it's the fear of COVID, which has, quote, morphed and evolved into a form of mass delusional psychosis, end quote. There are serious concerns about the lasting effects this widespread insanity will have on children as they grow up. One of the worst traumas children suffer as a result of all this fear-mongering is the idea that they may kill their parents or grandparents simply by being around them. Treating the children's trauma in therapy is not going to be enough, as parents and other adults are the ones creating the trauma by their own exaggerated fear response. To heal a generation of traumatized children, we must first address the psychosis of the adult population. Do you think? A number of mental health experts have expressed concern over the blatant fear and panic mongering during the COVID-19 pandemic, warning about potential, and let's face it, likely psychiatric effects. In December 22nd in 2020, there was an article written by S.G. Che discussing what may in fact be the real problem. Mass insanity caused by delusional fear. Che writes, quote, "Even when the statistics point to the extremely low fatality rate among children and young adults, measuring at 0.002% at age 10, 0.01% at 25, the young and the healthy are still terrorized by the chokehold of irrational fear when faced with the coronavirus," end quote. Science is quite clear about the risk posed by asymptomatic individuals. By the way, president is in what, day 7 or 8? I don't want to digress here, but I wonder if indeed he really does test positive. Maybe they just taken him away for a while, but I digress. The bulk of published science also shows that masks do not prevent the spread of viral infections. Despite all of that, many still enter a state of hysteria when they see an unmasked person. Indeed, according to Dr. McDonald, these people are suffering from delusional psychosis. In his interview recently, McDonald said the following, quote, "There was never a medical crisis. There were always enough resources to deal with the people who were sick. Many resources were, in fact, turned away. The question then for me became, what's the real crisis? What are people really suffering from?" McDonald went on to say, "It became clear to me very quickly within the first 2 or 3 weeks in March 2020, this was fear. Since then, the fear has morphed and evolved not just into an I'm worried, I'm scared, so I need to stay home, but an actual belief that is against reality. Because the definition of delusion is something you believe that doesn't conform with reality. Stay with me. Some people believe they're going to die, no matter what age, no matter what state of health they're in, if they don't leave their house with a mask and gloves on every day and run from other human beings. That is delusional psychosis. It's false. It's wrong. It's not backed up by any evidence." McDonald is particularly concerned with the lasting effects on children as they grow up. Since the lockdowns began in the first quarter of 2020, he has seen a massive increase in patients, and their mental states are far worse than what we are used to seeing by these age groups. One of the worst traumas children suffer as a result from all the fear-mongering is the idea that they may kill, indeed, their parents or grandparents simply by being around them. Chase said, "It's not normal for children to grow up thinking that everyone is a danger to everyone else. It's not normal at all, and hysterical adults are mindlessly inflicting severe emotional trauma on an entire generation. As noted by McDonald, a primary cause of depression, especially among youngsters, is disconnection from others. We need face-to-face contact. We need physical contact as well as emotional intimacy. We need these things to feel safe around others and within our own selves. Digital interaction simply cannot replace those most basic human needs. McDonald cites recent CDC statistics showing there's been a 400% increase in adolescent depression compared to 18 months ago. And in 25% of the cases, they've contemplated suicide. McDonald said, quote, "This is a mass casualty event. And parents, adults are to blame because they're the ones scaring the children to the point they don't feel life is worth living anymore. What must we do? We must also address the mass delusion for another reason, and that is because it's driving us all, sane and insane alike, toward a society devoid of all previous freedoms and civil liberties, and the individuals in charge will not voluntarily relinquish power once we've given it to them. A totalitarian society is the ultimate end of the social psychosis unless we do something about it and realize that we're fine. We must not allow our freedoms to be taken from us due to delusional fears." In a recent video featuring a short lecture that Dr. McDonald gave during America's Frontline Doctors White Coat Summit, y'all remember them? Spring of 2020, bunch of white coat doctors in D.C., and they're sharing all this information, and that got shut down and censored and deleted, canceled. Summit was called The Way Forward, Overcoming Fear. McDonald said in that presentation, he believes since then, not only has fear morphed into a delusional belief that masks, gloves, physical separation are required to stay alive, but fear has also been turned into a virtue. By encouraging us to remain in fear, to burrow and settle into it and allow it to control and constrain our lives, the fear has become so entrenched that anyone who says we need to be fearless and fight for our freedoms is likely attacked for being not only dumb but also dangerous. The problem we now face is that the delusion has taken such hold that even if the mask mandates ended nationwide today, they've been, this is a commentary that's a number of months old. By the way, the L.A., County, Barbara Ferrer, you know why she went belly up? Because we said enough, and she listened. Certain venues across the United States, around the world, won't allow you, if you don't have the vaccine, private corps are ones instigating the unconstitutional rules. Here's the bottom line. How do we get out of this? How do we restore our sanity? We must firmly reject any type of virtue signaling, like masks, for instance. Somehow donning a mask is virtuous. We should protect those at the greatest risk, meaning elderly for sure. We must embrace courage, truth, honesty, and freedom, not just in our thoughts and words, but in our actions. The best you can do is to stand firm and act in alignment with truth and objective reality. Don't be a lemming. Don't be a follower. Enough is enough. And the good news, I actually believe more of us have finally gotten it. And I think that's why we didn't see a mandatory mask mandate indoors in L.A. County. We can get back to this. We need each other. Stop living in fear. It's unhealthy. It's insane. And it is delusional. And I hope and pray that extensive commentary maybe validated you. you have any thoughts, any comments, again, feel free to call 800-222-KABC. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. The phone bank has kind of lit up here. We've got some calls on the screen. We have a couple lines open as well, 800-222-KABC. Let me briefly make mention of one of our sponsors and the need for air conditioning. You know, it is warm out, and I have said this a number of times in the last few weeks. Months ago, our AC went out. We were renting, and our landlord said it would be a few days before they fixed the unit. And I'm just being very honest and transparent here. I didn't realize how much I just take air conditioning for granted. In fact, I think it's in Spain now. They passed national legislation where you cannot have your AC below like 80 degrees, and there's this outcry. Anyway, here's the point. Many of us take our air conditioning for granted. Don't do that. If you haven't had yours checked out in a while, or if you're in the market for a new air conditioner, call my friends at Home Comfort USA. They have a situation where they have an overstock of new AC systems from Lennox. So what they want to do is they want to give you $2,000 cash back and no payments for 1 year. It's an incredible deal. Ken and Tina Starr are good friends of mine, and they have helped thousands of homes by which we can have good AC. They also have air filtration systems and all sorts of other items for you. HomeComfortUSA.com is their website. And if you'd like to schedule an appointment, 888-862-1929. 888-862-1929. I promise you, you will be glad you made that call. All right, let's talk to Eric in Santa Clarita. Eric, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. Great hearing your voice again. I remember you from the long time ago. Anyway, in the 18th century, Goethe wrote a book called The Sorrows of Young Werther. And it was his first big book, and it was a cultural phenomenon. Young Werther in the book pines for a girl. He's rejected. He commits suicide. Instantly, all over Europe, teenagers are dressing like Young Werther. There are shops that are making money selling the special clothes that look like Young Werther. And there's a rash of suicides all over Europe. Finally, cities and communities have to ban the book. So then look at the Salem witch trials. Humans just have this predilection of jumping on a bandwagon and cutting, you know, lighting their hair on fire. And I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
Well, I appreciate it, Eric. Thank you for sharing. There's a book many years ago written, and I don't remember the exact title, but it's something about the delusion of mass crowds. I've got it somewhere. And it's similar to what Eric said. You get a lot of people together, and you can run certain things by them and get enough people. It's like something happens once you reach a critical mass, where then all of a sudden most of the people go along with it. And it's really concerning. And one of the powerful mediums right now that is responsible for propagating and pushing this type of mindset is the media. Many years ago, I worked at a radio station that will go unnamed and a program director that will go unnamed. I was the news director at the time, and I went in and I said, I've got this idea. We at the time, and those of you that have listened different times in my career, when I say this, you'll know where I'm talking. The news segment was called News and Views. And I went in and I said, hey, I've got this idea. Not that I rediscovered the wheel, but I said, why don't we do one segment, one news segment called Good News and Views, where we just talk about things that are happening in a world that are inspirational and exciting and, you know, about love and people helping each other. And the PD, without missing a beat, said, no one wants good news. What's my point here? We are kind of like lemmings. And the media is very powerful. It's very manipulative. You get these stories nonstop. Horrific stories, fear-filled stories. The commentary I just read about fear-mongering. It's everywhere. You start looking at the driver next to you down the freeway like, something going to happen here? And I'm redundant because I've said this on, I think, every single program. I don't believe for a moment we are as separated as is being led on. Do we have differences? Of course. We've always had differences. But I think when people align or start talking to each other or start hanging out with each other and having actual conversations, those entities and positions of authority that hoard power, guess what? They lose their power. And it's cyclical. We get scams run on us every generation. I've gotten a couple emails from people that are upset with me, thinking somehow I'm against all electric vehicles. No, I'm not. You want to buy an electric vehicle? Go for it. You should have that right. But somehow mandates, or somehow by the year, 2030 in California, half the cars. No, I'm sorry. The less government intrusion in my life, the better. I can take care of myself. I don't need government incentives. I don't need this, you know, the whole COVID thing. And I don't want to go the ways of now we're going conspiratorial. But the whole COVID thing, I think, was a trial run. How much can they get away with? Last time I looked in our country, isn't it we the people? Aren't they supposed to be representative of us? And again, aren't they employed by us? But that's not the case anymore. Boy, that ship has sailed a long time ago. These people, for the most part, are rich, out of touch, and have no basic understanding nor interest in the average American middle-class person. So what do you do? Well, you may start by reading the Declaration of Independence. I'm not talking about an uprising. I'm not talking about overthrowing the government. We've got enough of that fake news out there like January the 6th. Please, if you think that was an insurrection, if you know what I look like, I'm going to sell you a bottle of hair revitalization like me. Like somehow I've got the... It's hooey. It's nonsense. It's manipulation. Gosh, the people that died that day, I think four, they were all Trump supporters. And yet you hear over and over again the propaganda. Oh, no, quite the opposite. So what's the gift in all this for you? Don't get caught up in the distraction. Stop watching news. Why anybody watches news is beyond me. Use your time wisely. Coach John Wooden many years ago said, make every day your masterpiece. Drink deep from good books, like the Bible, he said. Don't take anything for granted. Be grateful. Attitude is everything. None of us are going to, as Jim Morrison said many years ago, none of us are going to get out of here alive. But how you live your life now is of the essence. And yes, there are bad things in the world. Yes, people will die from illness. You've probably lost a family member to the word called cancer and other things. I'm not candy coating anything. I'm just saying the reality is, yeah, life is hard. This is a fallen world, but you don't have to live that way. When a baby is born, maybe you can remember back when you were young, you were filled with nothing but wonder and excitement for the future and what your life may be like. And sadly, we live in a day and age where we're bombarded with information. I'm not yearning for the old days, the good old days necessarily, but when we come back in hour number two, we're going to talk a little bit about Vin Scully. Growing up, for me, you didn't even know the scores in sports till the next morning when you got the newspaper. There's something to be said about we are bombarded right now with information overload. It's not natural. It's not normal. It's not healthy. staring at a screen for 10 hours a day, not having physical contact with people. This is breeding nothing but loneliness and depression and fear. When it just takes a few of us to say no more, let's step out. Let's live our lives to the fullest. Write a blog that's inspirational. Do something on social media that's real and true. We have so much ability, God-given ability. It doesn't take a lot. Dr. King used to talk about, literally, this is true, the darkest part of every day is right before the dawn. Do you think that's just some coincidence? God just thought, well, I'm going to throw this little bit of a shocker in to the course of a day. Whereas if you really look close enough, you understand, oh, wait, maybe there's a message in that. We're in a room of darkness. Just strike a match. One of the human beings that epitomized this was Vince Scully. So many have honored him this week. When we come back, we're going to do one and the same. He was a rare human being indeed. And if you'd like to call in, share some thoughts, 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. We're grateful that you're listening to this program. If you miss any portion, you can listen to the entire podcast virtually right after the show at franksontag.com. You can also email me at the same website. Drop us a line. Let us know what you think. Let us know how we can serve you and support you. This is the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC.